Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place.
Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. You have found the Delaine MD Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast. For those of you who are new, welcome. I'm getting new listeners every week, and I so appreciate you. I hope you're finding this information helpful. Check out the old podcast, see what's in there. Any questions, you can always contact me at Delaine@DelaineMD.com, or you can find me at Facebook, on Facebook at DelaineMD. Just search that, and you can send me a message there. So I hope everybody has had a fabulous holiday season. It is the new year and the time for resolutions. So for those of you resolving to live a naturally healthy life, this is the podcast for you. For those of you who don't know, my coaching practice typically works with type 2 diabetics that want to reverse their type 2 diabetes naturally without medications, without shots, without pills, without blood sugar checks, all of that. So they want to reverse it naturally. And that's why they come to me. So I am going to talk about that today and kind of the basic steps that I recommend to clients to make that transition into living that naturally healthy life without any medications. Most people come to me and they have been told from the healthcare community that type 2 diabetes is a progressive disease that will go on and continue to worsen, and there's not a lot that they can do about that. That information's old and inaccurate. There are tons of things that you can do with type 2 diabetes to make yourself healthy again. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I want to make sure that as you're starting out the new year and kind of resolving to be a naturally healthy individual, a naturally healthy human animal, that you kind of know that this is out there and there's something more. And if that's something you're interested in, want to hear more about, certainly this is the podcast for you, and certainly you can contact me for any questions you might have about this. So I use three main strategies for my clients to help them reverse their type 2 diabetes. The three strategies I use are, one, eating foods that you're meant to eat. So that's avoiding processed foods, avoiding sugar and flour, avoiding foods that aren't natural to the human animal. And I'm going to talk about that more. The second strategy I use is intermittent fasting. And then the third strategy is nutritional ketosis. I have other podcasts that dive into these different strategies pretty deeply. Go back, find them. I'm going to talk about them briefly here today so that we can figure out just the fact that there is another way to do this other than meds, other than insulin injections. So let's talk about the foods that we should be eating. So recognize, I live by a pretty straightforward strategy, and I promote a pretty straightforward strategy. There's no pill I'm going to sell you. There's no shake I'm going to recommend. There's no sprinkle on your food to undo the damage that a pizza will do to your body. It's pretty straightforward. How are we as human animals meant to eat? Recognize we live on the earth in a symbiotic relationship. We aren't here to master the earth. We aren't here to rule the earth. That's not really our role on the earth. We are an animal just like every other animal on the earth, and we have to live in agreement with the earth. We should be eating foods that the earth makes for us, just like every other animal on the earth. If you think about it, if you go to a zoo where they keep animals in certain climates and areas, and certainly in spaces where their natural food source is not available to them. If you talk to the zookeepers, they try to mimic the natural food that that animal would eat in their natural environment. So when you go see a gorilla in Wichita, Kansas at our zoo, which is a pretty fabulous zoo, in case you didn't know, the Sedgwick County Zoo here in Wichita, Kansas is usually a nationally ranked zoo because it's so amazing. Either way, we're not feeding the gorilla, which is not natural to the state of Kansas, the things that the deer who are natural to the state of Kansas eat, because that's not the natural food for the gorilla. Works the same way for every other animal, right? Squirrels aren't out there complaining about acorns and asking to go for pizza at night. Deer aren't out there complaining about how they're bored with the grass and wanting to go out for Chinese food. We are the only animal on all of the planet that looks at the food the way the earth makes it for us. We see the cucumbers, the lettuce, the tomatoes, and we're saying, no, I'm good. I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to go ahead and have some Doritos and Red Bulls. And then we can't figure out why we're sick. Of course we're sick. As an animal, that is not the food our body is meant to eat. And when we do eat it, just like the gorilla eating the food that a deer in Kansas is meant to eat, the gorilla would get sick. Our human bodies get sick when we do not eat the food that our human bodies are meant to eat. Now, if you think about this, a squirrel can totally go and steal a peanut butter and jelly from a picnic basket, right? It can steal it. It can eat it. It will be amazing. The squirrel will love it. It will not kill the squirrel from that one peanut butter and jelly. However, if the squirrel eats peanut butter and jellies every single day, the squirrel will also get sick because the squirrel is not meant to eat peanut butter and jellies every single day of their life. This is the same reality for the human animal. The human animal can totally eat processed foods and sugar and junk. It will not die from one meal of that. But if the human animal eats it every day for years and years, the human animal gets sick too. And that is what is happening with type 2 diabetes. We are eating foods that our bodies are not meant to eat all of the time, and it causes us to be sick. If you want to know more about the physiology of that and what that means, go back to the other podcasts. I talk about how the processed foods raises our insulin. And when we eat the processed foods over time, we have a high level of insulin over a prolonged period of time. And that leads to insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is what type 2 diabetes is. When our bodies become resistant to the insulin, we no longer get the effect of the insulin. That allows our blood sugars to rise quite high. That is damaging to our bodies. That is what makes us sick. Okay, it's really simple and there's a lot of physiology behind it. And I go into that in other podcasts. But recognize my primary recommendation to my type 2 diabetic clients that are trying to reverse their type 2 diabetes is that they cut out processed foods, sugars, and flours. It's very simple. So that's my first recommendation to my clients. My second recommendation to my clients, or the second strategy, it's not always a recommendation. Everybody doesn't have to do this. Some people reverse their type 2 diabetes just by changing their diet and cutting out junk food. But the second strategy that I use with my clients is intermittent fasting. Now, if you ever hear me do a presentation, I always talk about fasting as the other F word. People don't like the idea of fasting, especially people in America. We think that it's equivalent to starving ourselves, and that is not what I am promoting. I'm not promoting starving yourself or withholding necessary food, but recognizing that the current path for a type 2 diabetic is that they are eating themselves into the grave. They are not starving themselves into the grave. They are eating themselves into the grave. They are feeding themselves in a way that is detrimental to their body. Starvation is not providing nutrients to your body in a way that is detrimental to your body. Both of these parties are detrimental to your body. Fasting is not the same. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to offer is the human body. Again, if you think 10,000 years ago, pre-modern, the way our human body is meant to eat, the human body has developed and is totally capable of thriving and certainly surviving during times of fasts. If famine or fasting was going to kill off the human body and meant certain death, our species would have never became the dominant species on the planet. So that's fasting. Also, I like to point out that we all fast. Unless you found a way to feed yourself while you're asleep, you totally fast. You fast during your sleeping hours. Everybody does this, and it's okay. Nobody dies during that time. Our bodies are totally capable of handling that. So what do I mean by intermittent fasting? Intermittent fasting is when you take a period of time where you set aside and you do not consume foods. When you don't consume foods, that allows that insulin level that you're insulin resistant as a diabetic, right? That allows the insulin level to drop quite low, and that allows your cells to resensitize to insulin. That means they become affected by the insulin. That means they show up for the game. When insulin's in your system, they show up and they get the job done that they're supposed to do in the presence of insulin. So that's why fasting is effective for a type 2 diabetic. It allows their cells to resensitize. It diminishes the insulin resistance that is your type 2 diabetes. So fasting looks a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. Some people, probably the most common fasting regimen out there is doing a 16-hour fast interspersed with an 8-hour eating window. So what does that mean? That means for 16 hours of your 24-hour day, you do not eat. You do not consume anything that will make your insulin level rise. Again, there's a podcast that goes into this. What does that mean? What can I eat? What can I drink? There's a podcast, check it out, where I talk about intermittent fasting. But for right now, I want you to recognize that there is a fasting period where you do not consume anything that causes your insulin levels to rise. When you do this, you allow your insulin levels to drop quite low. And again, that resensitizes your cells to insulin. And then you are interspersing these 16-hour fasts with 8-hour eating windows. So that means for 8 hours, you allow yourself to eat. That does not necessarily mean that you're going to eat for 8 straight hours, but that just means maybe you have 2 or 3 meals in an 8-hour period, and then you're done eating for the day. Most people find this 8-hour eating period interspersed with these 16-hour fasts most comfortable. What that looks like is you sleep 8 hours, which everybody should be sleeping 8 hours. And I'm reading a book actually right now about the importance of sleep. So keep an eye out for a podcast coming in about that because it's incredibly important. But you should be sleeping for 8 hours. So maybe that means after you wake up, you're waiting 4 hours before you eat. And then before you go to bed, you're waiting or you're not eating for the 4 hours prior to going to bed. And that's your 16-hour fast. 8 hours of sleep, 4 hours in the end of your waking period of fasting, 4 hours in the beginning of your waking period of fasting. That gives you your 16 hours. Some people find that most comfortable, and then you eat. So maybe you get up at 6 a.m. and you don't eat until 10 a.m. You eat from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. You go to bed at 10 p.m. Okay, then from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., that's your other 4 hours. Some people find that really easy. Most people work in some form of that. And some people don't start eating until noon. Some people stop eating at 8 p.m., whatever that looks like for you. Some people find to get their results that they want, normalized blood sugars or even weight loss, that they have to narrow that eating window. So some people do 18-hour fasts each day interspersed with 6-hour eating windows. Some people do 20 hours interspersed with 4-hour eating windows. Some people really like only doing one meal a day. It's easy. They don't have to think about it. It's simple planning. They really like that. Not everybody has to do that. That's totally fine. But recognizing that that's what some people do, that's an option out there for you if you need to get your numbers in control. And then also recognizing that some people will opt to do longer fasts. Some people will opt to do fasts for days. I'm not promoting that. I'm not saying you have to do that. I want you to recognize that it's totally safe to do that. Our human bodies are totally fine and completely capable of handling a multi-day fast. So don't be afraid of that. Open your mind up to that, right? That's okay. I'm not saying you have to do that. Many people reverse their type 2 diabetes without ever fasting more than 20 hours or 18 hours. It's totally fine. And even some people do it with only doing the 16-hour fast. So recognize that's totally an option. Don't get stuck in the idea that you're going to have to fast and starve yourself for days. That's not the case. So the third strategy that I use with my clients to help them reverse their type 2 diabetes is nutritional ketosis. This is ketogenics. This is a ketogenic diet. You may have heard about this. For my diabetics, I like to clearly distinguish between nutritional ketosis and diabetic ketoacidosis, or DKA. Many diabetics have probably heard of this as something they want to be aware of, that they can get very sick. DKA is not the same as diabetic or as nutritional ketosis. DKA is a pathologic state. where your blood sugars are so high that it overwhelms your system, you definitely go into ketosis and you get acidotic. Your blood becomes acidotic. Recognize that the acid-base balance in a blood in our bloodstream is very, very narrow. It's not a lot of difference between what's normal and what's acidotic in our blood. It's important for our body to be in that narrow window. But that acidosis, it sounds like battery acid. It's not the same thing, but it is definitely acidotic and not a normal physiologic state for the human body, and that it is a pathologic state and it can be very dangerous. DKA is very, very dangerous. But there are three components to DKA. There is diabetes, there is keto formation in your body, and then there's acidosis. When I say diabetes and diabetic ketoacidosis, I'm not talking about you carry the diagnosis of diabetes. I am talking about blood sugars that are quite high. That is what we're talking about in diabetic ketoacidosis. You cannot be in diabetic ketoacidosis and have normal or low blood sugars. And that is really the key difference between DKA and nutritional ketosis. Having normal blood sugars prevents your body, protects your body from going into DKA. Okay. So DKA is diabetes, high blood sugars. It is keto, you're ketotic in your system, and then you're acidotic, okay? The only shared component between DKA and nutritional ketosis is the ketotic component, okay? Acidosis is the third requirement for being in DKA. Diabetes is the first, ketotic is the second, and then acidotic is the third. You are not acidotic when you are in nutritional ketosis. So these are very, very, very different states for the human being, the human body to be in. When you go into nutritional ketosis, you are not going to go into DKA because your blood sugars are going to be normal because you stop eating the foods that are making you sick. You're not eating breads, you're not eating muffins, you're not eating candy, you're not eating chips, you're not potatoes or potato chips or fries or any of that stuff. That is what protects you from going into DKA when you're practicing nutritional ketosis. So I always point that out because, of course, patients hear this from their medical providers, and then their medical providers hear from the patient, I'm doing nutritional ketosis, and everybody gets very anxious about this DKA versus nutritional ketosis. So I want to be very clear about the difference there. Okay. So nutritional ketosis allows you to start utilizing a different form of energy than sugar, okay? And again, it's ketone bodies. It's made from our fat. It's utilized from our body mobilizing and starting to burn off some of our stored fat. We burn off our stored fat and we use that as energy instead of glucose, which is what we typically consume in our meals. That, again, those ketone bodies actually have almost a healing property to our body, but certainly allows our insulin to drop very low because there's a very small amount of insulin that's produced by your body whenever you're utilizing ketones for energy versus the large amount of insulin that is produced by your body when you're utilizing glucose as your primary energy source. So when we use ketone for energy source, our bodies do not need insulin to utilize that. When we use glucose for our energy source, our bodies do require insulin to utilize that as energy. And when we're not using that glucose and we're using the ketones instead, that allows our insulin levels to drop quite low so that we can resensitize ourselves to that insulin. So the question then becomes, and what I work with my clients on, is how do we get their body into nutritional ketosis? Again, there's a podcast for this, but basically you go about eating in a way that does not offer your body glucose or carbohydrates to utilize for energy, instead requires your body to start utilizing your fat stores. Check out that other podcast to listen to or to find out more information about that. But these are really the three primary tools that I use with my clients to help them reverse their type 2 diabetes. I typically work with my clients for 6 months to a year. So we work on all of this, on reversing their type 2 diabetes, and then we work on maintaining their changes. We work on implementing strategies to make these changes to their diet, these changes to their lifestyle, lifelong changes, so they can live this naturally healthy life that I really think every human being should be able to do. Every human being should at least know how to do it. So If this is something you're interested in, if you believe that your type 2 diabetes can totally be reversed, somebody just hasn't shown you the path, please send me a message at Delaine@DelaineMD.com. Let's set up some time, let's set up a consult and see what it takes to help you learn how to live this naturally healthy life, free of diabetes, free of the healthcare system in America. I hope all of your resolutions come true for you this year and you work at them and you make them your reality. And I hope you guys have a fabulous week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.